This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. Welcome to Enterprise, and this is Open for Business. With COVID-19 still raging on as a major pandemic, many people are becoming more aware of their health, their hygiene, and their safety. And besides the usual things like hand sanitizers, wearing a face mask, and maintaining social distances, many consumers are looking for other daily products that cover these aspects. On the phone, I'm speaking to the guys from Trapro Asia, and they are an organization that was built with these needs in mind. They were founded back in 2016. You might know them mostly, though, for those car mats, but we're going to have a bit of a chat about this. On the phone line with me, I have Zong and Za Li. Hi, guys. How are you both doing?
Hi. I'm good.
Very awesome. Well. Great. One of you's in KL, one of you's in Malacca right now, I understand.
That's right.
Yeah.
Is that what happens when your brother's together in business? You have to be apart?
It actually works out better in some way.
a little bit of distance, brother distance.
Distance is always a little bit good. We'll get to that in a moment, though. Let's have a quick rewind then. Tell me about the beginning of the business. Tell me about Trapro. How did it start exactly?
Sure. So, hi, everyone. I'm Zong here. Trapro started in 2016. So, we had there was one day we had a chat about it. So what happened was that we spent about 1 hour to the factory every day. So we are in our family business. So every day that we need to travel about 1 hour to the factory and 1 hour back home. And there was one day that I was cleaning the car mat, and I realized that it was so hard to get all the dirt and sand out of the car mat. Yeah. And then I was starting to ask around, like friends. Back then, I just came back from Australia, and when I was driving in Australia, there was no problem like this before. I don't know whether it's the sand or the hygiene problem. So I started to realize that there's this problem here, and I start to ask around, and everyone's telling me the same thing. Just go to accessory shop and get it done.
Right.
And when I go there, they start to sell me like, hey, do you want okay, we can customize a carpet for you. Do you want a thin one, a middle one, or a good one? And to me, when I look at the solution, right, all of them look the same. So
right.
It's the same material. It's just that it's being sold in a different price. Sometimes depends on what car you drive. And the quality is just different. But the solution is the same thing. And that was, one of the problems that I faced. And at the same time, our family business, we have a foam factory. So we have been making toys for the past 35 years. And we have about 300 tons of foam wastage that we have to find a way to actually recycle them. And
right.
Just a little bit of background. So Za is a chemical engineer. So we always discuss about, how and what can we do with these foams. And then we talk about why not we, make into car mats. And how can a foam material can actually solve the problems that we are facing daily? And that is, just the start where we have an idea of how, we wanted to sell car mats.
So let me just get my head around this for a second. Your family business, they produce toys using foam. As part, and as a byproduct of that production process, you ended up with a whole bunch of foam that you couldn't use for anything else. Correct so far. And so the two of you, over a 1 hour conversation, decided that you were going to turn all this foam into car mats.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's a little bit inspiring, because we hear a lot of people who go for meetings and they sit down for hours and hours and days to discuss and find an idea. Za, you with your chemical engineering background then.
Right.
Coming back and looking at this foam and scratching your head after your brothers tried to clean it a few times, what was the kind of stuff going through your head then? How did you decide that this is something functional and something we can use?
Right. It's the thought process is actually a lot more straightforward. I always joke about it. We are making toys, right? So toys come out of different colors. Otherwise, the kids would not really be interested. They're
right.
Like bright red, bright yellow, bright blue. And when we start to think about recycling, right? So what can we do? It's impossible for us to isolate colors when you have everything all together. Mm-hmm. And when you bring everything together, the only thing that ends up is in black.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So that's the unfortunate part, where also give us limitation. And not many people would like to step on black. I mean, use a product that's in black in color, right? Especially a foam. So then we thought, you're right. It's probably something that people step on, like a mat that you can be always using and you won't mind because it has already been somewhere, it's dirty. And there you go, right? Karma. So
this almost feels like a joke. So I mean, was the product then? It came out of a limitation, almost.
Yeah, I would put it that way. Yeah.
Wow.
So for the first few years, right, people challenge us like, hey, why not you make a red color car mat of blue or a yellow, right? And we were like, yeah, let's stay with black, right? but over the years, we have actually innovated out of it. Like we now have other options as well.
Right. Yeah. Well, this is a great story. I'm really interested. Obviously, I had a bit of a joke with you at the beginning about, you know, you being siblings and whatever. And, you know, I have a sibling too. We're roughly the same age difference as you two are, around about 3 years or so. Has that, and there is a rivalry between siblings, there always is at some stage, you know, has that relationship of you two helped or hindered at any point? Have you had discussions where you've been furious with one another? You know, and how has it impacted on your business?
So do you want to hear from a bigger brother or younger brother?
Bigger brother always
goes
first.
That's a good start, right?
Yeah, exactly. I am bigger brother, so bigger brother always goes first.
Okay. All right. So as a bigger brother, we grow up sharing a lot of things. You know, when you're 3 years apart and you kind of, he's kind of like your best friend growing up together. So we used to play together. You know, we play sports together, we play toys together. I think that is kind of like the chemistry that we started when we were young. Mm. So moving forward, we went to the same primary school, the same secondary school, same uni. So we both live in the same house, even, you know, going abroad in Australia.
Yeah.
So that kind of put us together in everything that we do. So in a way, I would say it definitely helped us to build that relationship since young. So we kind of know that we have each other behind us, always at our back, you know, to support. And on the other side, when it comes to personality, we are actually a totally different person. And in a way, that is actually good fit that, you know, how we actually do things together. So that's from the bigger brother side.
Okay, now let's hear the younger brother's side. This is when it gets interesting.
Hey, come on, younger brothers are cooler, right? So, I mean, relationships are built over time, right? So, I think Zong explained why, you know, we can work well together. But surprisingly, how we both bond together in terms of what we know and what we can do well. So, I don't think I can do well if I'm able to do a good product but not selling it well and not package it well. So we kind of have that, you know. I think we are lucky brothers. So, but again, right, you meet every day, you know, you wake up, you see him on the breakfast table, and then you go to work, you see him again. And then at night, you see him again. And it's always about work, right? So that's why I like how you say now there's a little bit of distance. So Zong moved to KL probably about 3 years back. Mm. Yeah, and the business actually grew, right? So, but jokes aside, right, we start to... You know, as we grow up since young and we have always been quarreling since young, so quarreling is not a problem. And I think as we get mature, it is that one feeling and one word, you already know how he feels and you know when to back off and when to actually go more. So I think that is still working perfect for us and always communicating by expectation. So working in a family business for brothers and brothers is not too much a big deal, right? But brothers with the previous generation is probably harder. So So that's probably our common language most of the time. And when you have a common enemy, there's no problem.
I mean, that was actually going to be my next question, because you essentially you stepped away from a family business to recreate another family business, kind of. If you catch my drift, Stepping away from the older business, if you like, you know, was that a difficult decision to make? And I'd imagine that your other family, your parents or your uncles or whatever, might have been a bit apprehensive about you guys leaving it, because oftentimes they want to pass down that business to the younger generations, right?
Yeah,
right. You want to go
tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So we actually get asked a lot of people actually asking us, why do you guys leave your family business? Mm. So the answer is actually no. So we are actually still in the family business. When we started Tribal is just another product, you know, out of the family business.
Got it.
Where we definitely see growth in the product, and we see that, you know, we kind of need to separate the jobs and we need to be more concentrated when it comes to running another business. But at the same time, we are still, you know, in the family business scene, and we still discuss among cousins, with our dads. And yeah, you know, things are still going as it is. And a lot of things in Tribal are actually interrelated with family business as well. Mm. So that is how it is.
So that sounds like a Big Brother's answer to we wanted to be our own boss.
Right.
All right. On that note, let's take a short break. I'm going to come back and I'm going to ask you about, you know, getting funding to get this off the ground a little bit as well. Maybe that's something we can talk about. Anyway, you're tuned in to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, the business station, where I'm speaking to the co-CEOs of Trapo Malaysia. It is Zong and Zali. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Breathe freely, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Open for Business here on Enterprise. I'm speaking with the two co-CEOs of Trapo. It is Zong and Za Li. You might know them as the guys that make those really nice car mats and some other stuff. They've been branching out into doing some other stuff that we'll get to in just a moment. Just before the break, we were talking about the whole family business thing and, you know, and how you guys, Trapo, are kind of, I suspect, some kind of branch of your original family business. But how did you manage to get funding to go towards Trapo then? Was it a case of going to the other family members and say, look, we have this idea. We had a conversation for an hour where we decided we can use this foam, give us some money. Or did you actually sit down and write a full-on business proposal?
Okay, I can start. Actually, Trapo is funded by resources, put in this way. Like, we learn from what our family is doing, you know, the machinery and all that. We try to actually leverage on whatever we have. So we're really bootstrapping it in giving just resources. So right. We are still very proud to say that since day one, we are self-funded, because right. Other than the resources that we are leveraging on, the rest, you know, every buck that we put in marketing, we didn't really raise funds from our members or whatnot. So that's something that we did it very differently. It's also part of it is because that we wanted to prove that, you know, we can actually do something. Mm-hmm. There is this part where you want to be out there and say, hey, I know it's a great business that, you know, you guys have built, but, you know, we can also do something that is, you know, very interesting and it's going to create a lot of differentiation. And right. Because we have been so used to doing OEM products in our family business, whereby, you know, a brand comes to us, we do something for you and you take it and we just continue to manufacture in a huge amount the repetitive huge amount of goods, right?
Yeah.
But then Trapo has a totally different business model. You know, we were asking our, you know, family members to invest something like totally different is impossible. Mm. So they weren't very happy at first on how we approach it. They'll be like, you know, you should just go to a dealership next door and try to tell them that, hey, I'm going to sell you 1,000 set of the Nissan Almera car mats. Just take it, right? Yeah. But we took a different approach and we went B2C. And now we call it manufacturing to consumer, mm-hmm. which is we really make that mat only after we get your order. And it's personalized, it's customizable one-to-one. So that business model has evolved eventually in the next 5 years. Yeah.
Right. And from my understanding, you've both had kind of experience in e-commerce as well, right?
Yep.
And so how do you think that's helped form your business model?
So definitely e-commerce is something that we learned along the way because, you know, throughout our first e-commerce journey, as you remember, about 10 years ago, when we started to wanting to sell toys on eBay. So we actually, you know, talk to our family and actually get, you know, some stocks sent to our garage.
I think it's still in the garage today.
So you always have like you wanting to sell them off, and then you realize that it's actually not as easy as you thought. But throughout that process, we learned a lot. So coming back, you know, when we first started thinking about selling car mats, and we always wanted to sell on e-commerce. We always wanted to continue to think, you know, what is the next thing that we want to sell on e-commerce. Mm-hmm. And there was one day where I was doing, you know, just browsing online, and I saw this idea from Nike that they were doing Nike ID. So you get to customize your shoes. So on the very detail, for example, your shoelace, you can put your name on it. And it takes about 3 weeks up to 2 months to actually get it delivered to your doorstep. Yeah. And that idea actually, you know, gave me inspiration about why not we do something different. Who would have thought that you can customize car mats online, right? Mm. So who would have thought that you want to buy car mats online? That's the first question. And what would be the gimmick if I want someone to buy such a boring product online? So we have to put something special into it. And then there is where all the customization comes into place.
Mm.
And that is how we started the e-commerce. Yeah.
I mean, did you ever see yourselves moving into the automotive industry? Was that anything you'd really considered before this product became a thing?
Yeah, that's the question that we ask us all the time. Before we get into the you know, one of the reasons that we get into e-commerce is because we had no connections with the automotive industry.
Right.
And all we wanted to do is just to solve the car mat problem and also our own company problem. And that was the root. I mean, it kind of down to a reason that is the only way that we can try rather than, you know, knocking every car dealership store and do it on the more traditional way. So that was a surprise for us, and I can't believe that we have been in the automotive for the past 5 years.
Now you just briefly touched on it there, you know, about helping out with climate change and one thing or another.
Yeah.
And for you guys, you know, your product is essentially made from a large percentage of recycled products, and how important to you two on a personal level is that? Is that something that you've always felt quite strongly about?
Yeah, I think recycling is something, or sustainability is something that I personally feel is my passion of actually doing it, because I've seen so much foam that was wasted, you know, prior to me joining the company, and also along the way, right? You see how, you know, we need to just burn it off, and it's actually not friendly, right? And in Malaysia, we know the recycling facility is not at that level yet to actually recycle plastics. And then it creates a lot of environmental problem, just that if you see it or you don't see it, right? That's actually a big problem behind it. And I think that is where we start to think about, you know, we really want to create a product and also a brand that talks about sustainability in Malaysia, because I think one can inspire another. So if we do it this way, I mean, you can still get a similar mat nowadays. I mean, after us doing for so many years, right, there are competitors trying to be, but they cannot be the same because of what we believe in creating a product that is actually giving back to I mean, not really giving back yet, but we are actually saving the earth in some manner. So it has its value, and that creates an edge in our brand.
It does. It has you have, you know, that sustainability value, you know, and that's something that people are kind of looking for in products today, and will be moving forward as well. Now, obviously, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and you're not just producing car mats anymore. You've kind of branched out, and you're doing some other things. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. When we first started Travel, we had the idea that we wanted to sell car mats, but at the same time, you know, the more car mats that we sell, the more customers are coming back to us and say, Travel, you guys are doing well at car mats. So what are the solutions that you have? Yeah. And that actually got us thinking, you know, what else can we offer to our customers? And that is where our, you know, we're starting to start doing some research about the problems again and how we started CarMats. So what are the key problems that people are usually facing when they mm-hmm. own a car or when they first buy a car? What are the accessories that they are looking out for? Mm-hmm. And it just happened 2 years ago that we started to, you know, get into the hygiene sector before the pandemic actually hit. So right. we're actually starting to put in we came up with a tagline saying that we are the most hygienic solution for your cars. So, and then that kind of changes the way that we source our products. So we kind of we were then starting to put, you know, like vacuums. How can you clean your car easier? Yeah. How can you, you know, save more time when it comes to cleaning your car? And with this pandemic, it kind of pushed us even faster. Because, you know, 2 years ago when you started coming out, you know, we had the antibacterial car mats. Mm-hmm. And to everyone, antibacterial was good to have, but it's not like a must-have product, right?
Right.
But yeah. in today's situation is totally different. You know, people see it as one of the, you know, very, very important aspect value on the product. Mm-hmm. So that kind of changed the way that we do. And at the same time, for the past 1.5 years with this pandemic, we have rolled out more and more products that are that actually solve the hygiene problems.
Great stuff. Now, I've got two questions before I let you go. One of them is about expansion. First and foremost, obviously, you're already here in Malaysia, you're in Singapore, and you're in Indonesia. Do you see yourselves wanting to expand further afield, perhaps Thailand, the Philippines, anywhere else?
Yeah, definitely. So we are in the pipeline of, you know, expanding. So we are still looking at where will be the best suitable market for us to grow.
Right. And my final question, and it's always the one I say for last, how have profits been this year compared to pre-pandemic?
All right. Yeah, I think
there was a little pause there.
No.
Because, kind of forget what profit means.
That's true. It's really a roller coaster ride up, but it is way, right? So there is a boom in e-commerce, right? Over the time, I think the pandemic actually made people trust more buying online, and with the boom of the platform that is going around Southeast Asia, like Singapore, Indonesia, or Malaysia, so obviously there will be more people willing to buy things online. And of course, we see that growth. And at the same time, the pandemic is also hitting us at time to time because whenever there's a pandemic, there's no cars sold. And we are closely tied towards, you know, how many cars were sold in the market. So right. So we were going through a roller coaster. We don't know yet until the end of the year how it's going to be like because there's up, there's downs. So but I think at this tough time, right, we were trying to preserve as much energy that we can have because we are ready to be there when the everything recovers. And online shopping is just going to be there forever, and people will be, you know, demanding even a crazier experience. So now we are offering online to offline, and I believe there will be even more, right? They want a different experience. That how can you integrate that omni concept even further? So that is something that we would like to surprise the market.
Wonderful. Zhong and Zha, thank you so much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Richard.
My pleasure. I've been on the phone with the co-CEOs of Trapo Malaysia, Zhong and Zha Li. They put years of research and understanding into e-commerce. They created with the mindset of solving industrial waste stemming from the manufacturing of foam and consumer problems that they had, and produced car mats. They're now doing a whole bunch of other stuff. Really interesting stuff that you fellas are up to. Thanks very much for your time today. Right, you have been listening to Open for Business here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.